This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We welcome everyone to the show today. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have a multitude of insurance needs. And they can handle them all. Sometimes it's bundles. Sometimes it's just going over state lines. We're allowed to save you money. They'll update policies. Customer service means everything to them because they happen to be terrific people that are great pros. And don't forget about the, Great to have you with us today on the show. Hope you're doing well today, Todd.
I am doing okay.
Good. Okay, so we're going to talk a lot about Willie Mays. Rick Whitfield last night, Birmingham, Cardinals played the Giants. And Reggie Jackson.
Steve, we have Bob on the phone.
Oh, Bob's on now? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't get any order on this stuff. I just kind of sit there. Okay, good. We'll get to that in a second then. First of all, Bob, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Yeah, great to be here, Steve.
Okay. So let's get into the great Willie Mays and talk about his career, his impact on the game. And I want to talk about how smart the man was as a player. When you have done all your research about him and so forth, what really stuck out to you about him?
I mean, just such a pure player. You know, the guys that played with him and knew him well says, you know, he didn't really need any, you know, coaching or instruction. He was just, you know, a natural. Was always, you know, his head was always on a swivel, they said, you know, knowing where to run. You know, I never hit the cutoff man because he always just threw it. You didn't need the cutoff man. But, you know, as Guy said, you know, talk about, you know, the typical five-tool player. But he was the best at all five tools. You know, the best, runner, best arm, best, you know, hitter, best power, and whatnot. So, but just a ball player's ball player.
Yeah, and you know, it was an interesting era for him. And you know, we talk about what the Dodgers did in Los Angeles. What did he do to get the people in San Francisco excited about Major League Baseball?
Yeah, and you're talking about, you know, the biggest star in the game, you know, comes to your town, and we're talking about what Vin Scully did with the transistor radio and with the Dodger fans. It was, you know, hey, let's go to Cole Candlestick Park and go watch Willie Mays play. That place was a nightmare for players. It was so cold. I mean, you have to bring, you know, heavy jackets in the summertime, and with the wind howling and everything else, I can't even imagine how many home runs he would have hit if he was playing at a different ballpark. Easily would have been over 700.
Yeah, it was also an interesting time for him to play there, in the late 50s and through the 60s. And Alvin Dark at one point had been his manager. I would say that people would consider him maybe not America's most open-minded individual in the 60s. And he had a problem on that team with some of the Latin players. What did Willie Mays, as an ambassador for all the players, handle a situation like that that kept that team together?
Yeah, I mean, it was almost like Orlando said, when Willie hit a home run, Orlando Acevedo wanted to, do it better. But I think it was just he was such a big star, and he was kind of a loner. You know, when he would go back to his hotel rooms after games, and he was so beloved, everybody wanted a piece of his time, and he was kind of cautious of that. Well, wary of people. Never drank, so wasn't out partying in the streets. And usually, when midnight hit, he was home in bed. But yeah, just a at a time, and there was a lot more black players in the game then than today. But no, he was very instrumental. He wasn't an outspoken leader, like guys. It wasn't like a Henry Aaron, for instance. He was very close with the Martin Luther King Jr. and everything else, fighting racism. Where Willie, kind of stayed in the shadows of that and kind of fought his own private battles.
What does it tell you about the games he'd play stickball in the streets of New York when the Giants were there?
Yeah, I mean, here he is. He might have been even younger, but he is, 17 years old when he's playing with the Birmingham Black Barons in 1948. He was probably playing, some exhibition games at the ballpark when he was younger. But he was, everybody knew he was going to be the best player on the field, and just loved the game, like you said, playing stickball.
Yeah, he was also on deck with Bobby.
Steve, this is Reggie Jackson. I got to take this call.
Oh, well, I think you should take the call after what happened last night.
Okay, I'll check back to your producer. Bye-bye.
Okay, great. Well, speaking of Reggie Jackson, that was where I was going to go to next anyway. Look, he has to take a call with Reggie Jackson. I think Steve Jones can step aside for Reggie Jackson. Just an opinion. The audience may not think so.
You are the stir that... No, the straw that stirs the drink, Steve.
he is the Reggie Jackson is the straw that stirs the drink. But that's what I was going to get to last night. Because what he said last night, and I'm going to play it back for you. It's courtesy of Fox. What he did last night, the emotion of it, it is so. I've said this a lot. That people need to do a much better job of listening, all right? And if you listen and you hear somebody's experience, it tells you a story that should resonate with you. And last night, Reggie Jackson did exactly that in this moment with Alex Rodriguez. And Alex Rodriguez opens up by asking just an open-ended, benign question, which is also a great way to always start an interview, right? Just to get a feel for the subject and what they're thinking. And Alex Rodriguez did that last night, which then opened the door for Reggie Jackson to talk about his experience playing in the Kansas City A's organization in Birmingham at Rickwood Field.
Reggie, the baton has been passed for over a century here. We've been talking earlier about if it wasn't for the Willie Mays, the Jackie Robinson, the Reggie Jacksons, the three of us wouldn't have an opportunity to play. How emotional is it for you to come back to a play that you played with one of the greatest teams around?
Alex, when people ask me a question like that, it's like coming back here is not easy. The racism that I played here, when I played here, the difficulty of going through different places where we traveled. Fortunately, I had a manager and I had players on the team that helped me get through it. But I wouldn't wish it on anybody. People said to me today, I spoke and they said, you think you're a better person? You think you won when you played here and conquered? I said, I would never want to do it again. I walked into restaurants and they would point at me and said, can't eat here. I would go to a hotel and they say, then can't stay here. We went to Charlie Finley's country club for a welcome home dinner and they pointed me out with the N-word. He can't come in here. Finley marched the whole team out. Finally, they let me in there. He said, we're going to go to the diner and eat hamburgers. We'll go where we're wanted. Fortunately, I had a manager, Johnny McNamara, that if I couldn't eat, if I couldn't eat in the place, nobody would eat. We'd get food to travel. If I couldn't stay in a hotel, they'd drive to the next hotel and find a place where I could stay. Had it not been for Raleigh Fingers, Johnny McNamara, Dave Duncan, Joe and Sharon Rudy, I slept on their couch 3-4 nights a week for about a month and a half. Finally, they were threatened that they would burn our apartment complex down unless I got out. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. The year I came here, Bull Connor was the sheriff the year before. And they took minor league baseball out of here because in 1963, the Klan murdered four black girls, children, in 11, 12, 14 years old at a church here and never got indicted. It was there from the Klan. Life magazine did a story on them like they were being honored. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. At the same time, had it not been for my white friends, had it not been for a white manager and Rudy Fingers and Duncan and Lee Myers, I would have never made it. I was too physically violent. I was ready to physically fight some. I'd have got killed here because I'd have beat someone's ass, and you'd have saw me in an oak tree somewhere.
Reggie, I can't even imagine. It's awful you had to go through that, but you know, appreciate you sharing the rawness and the honesty of it with our audience. I mean, really, it's...
We love you, Reg.
Yeah. Thank you.
Quick history lesson right there.
That's a great history lesson. Reggie Jackson telling us all about it, preaching. Wow, that's unbelievable. The great Reggie Jackson, the Hall of Famer, joining us here, and we've got more to do.
That's on Fox last night. It's the personal experience of it, and it's the balance with which he told the story. And that's what strikes me about, you know, the raw emotion of it. So, which then brings us back to Bob Nightingale, because Bob is evidently back on the line after talking with Reggie. And I was playing the clip from Fox while you had a chance to talk with him. The raw emotion of what he talked about in 1967, which is 3 years after the Civil Rights Act, but a year before Dr. King was murdered in Memphis, and talking about what it was like in Birmingham. We need to listen more to stories like that so we understand what it was like so we can have perspective moving forward. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, as Reggie said, he was just, the emotions came out. He's talked about that before, but not on live TV. It's different in print. So, you know, he has mentioned that several times. You know, being South, and, you know, he wanted no part of Birmingham. You know, I remember when Dusty Baker got, you know, with the Atlanta and the Dodgers, just, you know, the racism in Florida, you know, at Vero Beach. So, you know, these guys all have these stories. But I think in that setting, you know, yesterday and in, you know, being, you know, on live TV, I think kind of hit home. You know, it's like, okay, you know, let's don't make this a beautiful picture, perfect thing. You know, Willie growing up in Birmingham and how great it was. Don't forget about, you know, Bull Connor and, you know, the guy from the hotel manager jumping acid in the pool. You know, those things. And Birmingham became kind of the heart of the civil rights movement here.
Right, no question. I'm glad he went back, and I'm glad he did it. I mean, he could have bypassed it because of the hurt feelings. He still went back. I give him credit for it.
Yeah, I mean, just had played here, you know, they invited him, and you know, there was like four or five Hall of Famers here, you know, a bunch of former players. I think everyone would be a part of it, and he did too. And you know, obviously, he was a Mays fan, and so, you know, he wanted to, you know, pay his respects as well here.
Yeah. So let me ask you about where we are with this season right now. The Yankees just went through a series with Baltimore, won the first game. Aaron Judge got hit in the left hand by a pitch. And then the Orioles won the next two, including 17-5. It's just a series, but what did you learn about the two teams in that series?
Well, I mean, for all the talk about, you know, the Yankees, how great they are, they're going to the World Series, it's like, hey, wait a minute now. Let's don't forget about the Orioles, who have the most, you know, the greatest collection of young talent in all of baseball. I mean, they've had so many injuries. I think they've had four guys, pitchers, underwent the ninth in the last 17 days. It's amazing what they've done, but they still have so much depth at the minor leagues, so they can go get some more pitching help. So now it should be these two teams will line up for a collision course in the ALCS. I still think Baltimore could be the team to beat. I mean, they won the division easily, you know, last year. I picked them to win the World Series this year. So the Yankees are good. They have more star power. But as far as young talent and maybe more balanced team, better look at Baltimore.
What do you think the impact of Mookie Betts' injury is for the Dodgers?
Well, it's huge. As much money as they put in that team is so top star, heavy. I mean, after the first five hitters, it's a massive drop-off. Mookie means everything to that team. I mean, people talk about Ohtani, like, wait a minute now. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy who never played shortstop at the major league level, and now he's, you know, playing for a championship team, a team that's in first place, leadoff guy. You know, he makes that team go. He's had a couple of rocky Septembers in the past, I think, just worn down. So who knows, man? It's a little bit of a blessing in disguise to, get some time off before he comes back. But he means everything to that team. I mean, no one is more important to the Dodgers than Mookie Betts.
Yeah, without question. Phillies have been going along at a decent pace for the most part. Everybody hits a little rut in the road. They get Turner back, but JT is out for them. Marsh has been out for them. How do you view them at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I still think you need another outfielder. Could use another, bullpen arm too. Very good team. The only thing that scares you a little bit is they're streaky. I mean, we saw what happened with them last year, losing the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean, they were a better team than Diamondbacks, but they got cold at the wrong time. So same thing in the playoffs. You know, they got a streaky guys like Schwarber and Castellanos. Harper, lives up to the moments, but not everybody else does. You know, if the three big guys stay, pitching-wise, stay healthy with Suarez, Wheeler, Nola, then they should be just fine. They really should. It'll be interesting because same thing. They expect, anything short of a World Series to be a bitter disappointment for them.
And normally when people sit down, they talk baseball. Let's talk about the Yankees. Let's talk about the Dodgers. Obvious. Not many people say, hey, let's talk about the Mariners. Bob, the Mariners are sitting there in first place, right? They're not quite to 600 baseball, but, what's the vibe around that team right now?
Well, they can pitch very deep in pitching. And remember now, just a couple years ago, when the Astros won the World Series, the team that scared them to death, was the Seattle Mariners. Seattle Mariners could have swept that series. They could have been, World Series champions. You worry about their offense some, but, teams don't slug away the World Series. They pitch away the World Series. So, they get in the playoffs. I think the last team anybody wants to face. I don't care if the Orioles, the Yankees, or whoever. Cleveland got some nice pitching too, and better offense. But that dominant pitching that just scares teams to death, and they should be in the postseason. I mean, this could be the end of the Astros' reign here, as far back as they are. And Texas having their problems too, but Seattle has got to be the team to beat in that division.
Kansas City and Cleveland in the Central, along with the Twins. I mean, you got three teams there that all are over 500 right now, with Cleveland setting the pace. What's made the National League Central so much more intriguing as a division?
Well,
the American League Central.
Twins probably the most, the best lineup, the best overall team, but they've been so hurt. And they're a better team now, of course, with Royce Lewis back and Byron Buxton. Correa's having a strong season. So it's a very very well-rounded team. Cleveland, I think people are just shocked at the offense. Now, they didn't change the ballpark with the seating and everything else. So there's kind of a wind current there, but their offense is shocking how good it's been because it was just so bad for so long. I still think KC fades. It's been a great season for them. Bobby Witt's a special player, but it's hard to see them, keep going like this. And I can't see this being a team that, hey, let's give up some prospects and go for this thing. They've had too many bad years getting these prospects. I don't see them giving up right away, where a team like Minnesota, even a team like Cleveland, I think would be more prone to say, okay, let's be a little aggressive here at the trade deadline.
Thanks so much for jumping back on with us. I really appreciate it. If I have to move aside, I guess Reggie Jackson's a good reason to do it. So,
I know. I reached out. And I should have called him last week because I've done so much stuff here for the Rickwood game and people played here. And I know Reggie fairly well. But I think things. I just wanted to get his reaction, and he said, he was surprised. How positive it's been. It's been great. But it just came out. I mean, he's talked about it in print. Yeah. But it's different, saying it on saying it for newspaper, magazine, or website than it is on live TV.
Well, that's the difference between him and me. He's the straw that stirs the drink. So, Bob, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure.
Very glad. Very glad he said that. He really is. Yeah, just a reminder.
That's right.
Not long ago, and hey, don't forget this still exists. It looked like everybody was loving Willie Mays in Birmingham, Alabama.
Hey, Bob, thanks so much.
Very my pleasure. Take care, Steve. Bye.
Bob Nightingale.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Start your journey today. Go with the pros. NILGameChangers.org. Great to have you with us on the show today. Gary Matthews, former Willie Mays teammate, to join us. And the raw emotion of Reggie Jackson. I think that what's been great about it is, in talking with Bob Nightingale, is the positive reaction that Reggie Jackson has to that game. Did not watch the game, but I was listening to the game. I had a speaking engagement in Johnstown. And from a different point of view, I did get a kick out of it in listening. I was listening to the Cardinals broadcast. And it's not because of the game or the setting or anything like that. Or, because of the setting. But the Cardinals are talking about the great job Andre Pallante is doing on the mound. They're into the sixth inning, you know, whether he can do all six or not. Okay, you know, mention that. Then they mention, well, you know, they may take him out. So Pedro Pajes is going down to the bullpen now. He's going to help, you know, catch one of the relief pitchers. And they even said, we're kind of glad he ran down. We weren't sure which one the Cardinal bullpen was. I thought that was pretty good. And then they were talking about, and we'll see what Ollie Marmol wants to do with the lineup and what he wants to do, whether he wants to keep Pallante in there or not. And then he was. Then they talked about, hey, by the way, coming up starting on Saturday, I think it was, Jordan Hicks, former Cardinal, was going to be starting for the Giants, and that he was off to a really good start. And maybe had a couple of shaky starts lately, but for the most part has had a really good year with the Giants. So this isn't a five-minute span as I'm listening, driving back. And what struck me about it was they're all former State College Spikes. Andre Pallante was the pitcher of the year here one year. Pais was an outstanding catcher. I remember they drafted him out of Florida Atlantic, and he was terrific when he was here. Jordan Hicks was a starter on the 2016 team that won the New York Penn League Championship, firing at that point here 94 to 96 mile per hour fastballs. We now know he can get up over 100, but he was a starter here. He was the Cardinals. He was a reliever. Now with the Giants, he's back to being a starter again. But he was a starting pitcher here. And, of course, Ollie Marmol managed the team for 2 years. So I just that's what struck me. In a five-minute span, the only guys they talked about are guys that at one point played for the State College Spikes. I thought that was kind of cool. Jody McDonald's going to join us a little bit later as well. Looking forward to that. Because remember, Jody's dad, Joe McDonald, who, by the way, is 94 now, was with the Mets for a long time. And remember, Willie Mays ended his career with the New York Mets, including an appearance in the 73 World Series. And it was a little bit up and down at that point, but I want to get into Jody Mack about that as well. So, but there's been an important perspective on the part of everybody in talking about and dealing with all this at Rickwood Field, which was an important setting to have. And that's what I give baseball credit where credit is due. They've done a great job, a much better job of picking out these settings and the importance of it. Reggie Jackson, for example, played at Rickwood, but that was 1967. Right? And as I said to Bob Nightingale, I said, you know, 1967 was 3 years after the Civil Rights Act. 1967 was 1 year before Dr. King was murdered. And it was still an awful time down there. And, you know, he was able to bring that out. And that's what was so important about that. I always feel that it is in my job, I have the privilege of traveling around a lot. So I get to see a lot. And Jack, for example, Jack Hamm loves history. And Dick Girardi loves history. So we, the three of us already have that. You know, we have a lot in common to begin with, but we have that in common. So there'll be times where we'll be on the road and we'll just, hey, let's go see something. You know, something as simple as the legislature in Lincoln, because it's a unicameral legislature, you know, one chamber. You know, and in there, there's a tribute to Lincoln because Lincoln, Nebraska is named after Abraham Lincoln. You know, something as simple as that, we'll go see. When Dick and I were down in Tuscaloosa, and with basketball, we had a little more time compared to football. Because remember, at football, we didn't stay in Tuscaloosa. We either stayed in Bessemer or we stayed in, one time we stayed in Tuscaloosa, but Bessemer or Birmingham, we would stay. And the they were doing shoot around, and they had just played Duquesne. You know, it just was one continuous trip. We did not go back to State College. We flew directly from Pittsburgh down to Tuscaloosa. So they go to shoot around. We were at shoot around for a half hour, and he said, "Hey, look, let's go out. We want to go check out Foster Hall." Now, why do we go to Foster Hall? Foster Hall, number one, is in between Bryant-Denny Stadium and Coleman. So it was right in between the football and basketball arenas. And Foster Hall used to be a gym. We went there because that's where George Wallace blocked the door. Right? The famous block the door moment. So Dick and I wanted to go see the spot where it happened. You know, learn more, pick up more about history and the setting of it. When Penn State played Auburn, it turned out we got in early and stayed in Montgomery. We got in early. And that actually gave me time to walk around the city. So in walking around the city, yeah, I saw the state capitol. You know, I saw the minor league baseball. The minor league baseball field was like just literally right down the street to the left from the hotel. And then I walked past where they play the Camellia Bowl. Okay, fine. But then I wanted to then go up to the what would be considered the historic area. So I saw the state capitol, and then I saw the house, which was considered to be the first White House of the Confederacy, where Jefferson Davis and his family happened to be when the war started before moving to Richmond.
Okay.
Then the next stop on the tour, for me, just a walking tour, just on my own, was to go to the Freedom Riders Museum and to learn more about the Freedom Riders. Now, I was alive when this happened, but you know, I was just a kid at the time. But I wanted to go see it, read about it, learn more about it, their experience, and what it meant. And after I was done with that, I then went to the Rosa Parks Museum. Same thing. I just wanted to learn more about her, learn more about what it was like back then, right? Because I have an opportunity to do that. And I always feel it's important if you can get to an area that has some semblance of history, and I have a chance to do it, I want to learn more. Now let's go to the other end of it. Those are really serious topics. But when I spoke in Jacksonville and Daytona, I had a car. So when I was done it turned out Jacksonville was a dinner on a Friday night, and Daytona Beach was a luncheon on a Saturday. And I was done with the luncheon because I had the car. I drove down to the Kennedy Space Center. I'd never seen it before. And again, here's the opportunity. More history, more chance to learn. I was always intrigued as a youngster with the space program. You know, the Mercury program, Gemini, Apollo. Right? And so this was another opportunity to get down to, you know, see the Rocket Garden, see the Astronaut Hall of Fame, see the Space Shuttle Atlantis. Now, there was one foul ball that ended up in it because there was one thing I absolutely wanted to see when I went there. I wanted to go see the launch pads, which is next to the Apollo, which is right near the Apollo Museum. Right? And there's a bus tour that takes you out there all the time. And I remember I walked into the desk. They said, "Mr. Jones, would you like a guide as to what you want to do?" And I said, "Oh, I know exactly what I want to do. I want to go see the Rocket Garden, Space Shuttle Atlantis, and I want to see the Astronaut Hall of Fame, and I want to go out to the Apollo display with where the launch pads are." They said, because the luncheon ran over, which the whole purpose of being there was the luncheon. Because the luncheon ran over, they said the last bus left 20 minutes ago. I went, "Oh." I drove as fast as I could to get down there. But I still got a chance to do it. I learned a lot, too, which is great. And seeing the Space Shuttle Atlantis up close like that was actually pretty cool. But you try to take... I tried to take time, if possible, to go someplace. I mean, the Cotton Bowl, I mean, that's an obvious one. I mean, my, you know, I did go to the spot where President Kennedy was killed. So, I mean, it was right there. I mean, I remember being there for the world-famous Ticket City Bowl, and we stayed in the Hyatt. Well, my room overlooked it. All right? My room overlooked it at the time. So, that's why So, yes, I went there. In fact, Ronnie Moeller and I went over there together. I had been there before because we had played a basketball tournament. And this is how long ago the tournament was. It took place at Reunion Arena, which is no longer standing. They now play at American Airlines Arena. And I'd gone over there then. But, if I have a chance when I'm on the road and I have an opportunity to go someplace and see it, you know, something as benign as, hey, let's go to the French Quarter. We're in New Orleans. Okay. Things like that. Or something of history, something serious. And the Peach Bowl was another great example. The Peach Bowl, we go down to Atlanta, and Jack Ham and I go to practice, and we went on the team buses to practice. It was the easiest way to get in there without having to worry about security. Okay. When they were done, they took the players to Ebenezer Baptist Church, which was the church where Dr. King's father was the pastor. And I think Dr. King would have been, I don't know if he was the associate pastor, but his father was the pastor. There's a new Ebenezer Baptist Church that is across the street where Senator Raphael Warnock is the pastor. But they took us into the actual Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Dr. King gave so many great speeches and oration. And to sit there and to listen to the history of it, and then they took us over to Dr. King and Coretta Scott King's gravesite. Again, just the opportunity just to learn more. I think it's always important to have a quest to learn as much as possible about something, because I think history is always the greatest teacher. I don't care whether it's good history or bad history. I mean, I've always felt it was important to get perspective to help not just with what we're thinking about in the present, but also to help shape how we think about the future. And that's why I've always done that. Now, and it helps that maybe that curiosity was fueled by growing up in New England, and the fact that you talk about history. I mean, my late mother was a graduate of Lexington High School in Massachusetts. Well, the Battle of Lexington and Concord was the first battle of the Revolutionary War. And my godmother, my Auntie Dolly, her house was four houses off the green where the battle took place. So, like, I guess that indoctrination to history at a very young age, that's probably where that came from. And the interest in it, and to pick up on things, because that's one of those, because of being there so many times. And I was at the 200th. And President Ford was there, and Senator Ted Kennedy was there, and Caroline Kennedy was there. The 250th is next year, and I am planning on going to it because I went to 200. Now, part of it's also going to be, let's go to the Red Sox game at 11 a.m. Okay, enough history. We're done. Let's go to the game. All right. But I've always found that to do stuff like this fascinating. I mean, at least to me. It may not be to you, but it is to me, especially to see things that help shape the country. And, I think it's, for me personally, it's fun and fascinating. It may not be fun and fascinating for you, but if I have a chance to take advantage of something because of personal interest on a road trip, I'll do it. And that's, I think, that's an important part of this. I could just sit in the hotel and watch game shows all day, and I chose not to. So So you do. Now, not every road trip's like that. I don't think there's been an educational trip I took to Champaign, Illinois. Let's see. Purdue, no. Indiana, no. Let's see. Now, Indianapolis. I went to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The suit is still mad about the fact that I have gone there and he has not. I saw the Daytona International Raceway. Oh, yeah, I'll go by stadiums. I'll do that, too. I'll go by stadiums. Right? You know, go over there, take a look at it. Like, hey, great. Sure, I'll do that. I mean, I didn't go into the Daytona International Raceway, but I drove up to it. And I went, hey, great. This is where it takes place. Wow, really cool. And we have to go back down there anyway. We are going back down November 25, 26, Monday, Tuesday. Penn State's playing in the Daytona Classic down there. It's a Monday, Tuesday of Thanksgiving week, so I have to go back to Daytona. And the airport's right next to the, right, literally right next to the speedway. But yeah, so I'll do stuff like that. And maybe it's just the curiosity of it, but I just want to learn. And that's the part I want to do. I just want to sit back. I want to learn about things. Maybe give me a better perspective. Maybe find out something I didn't know before. And so I take advantage of it. And I have the kind of job that gives me the opportunity to take advantage of it. I have that kind of job. So I can do that. Because we do have to travel. And there are spaces, especially in basketball, there are spaces where you can, you know, I mean, you know, we did the basketball tournament in Charleston. We saw all sorts of historical sites. Now, one thing that Dick Girardi did, because I remember doing the tournament in Charleston, I had to go to Michigan State. And that tournament's always Thanksgiving, Black Friday, off day Saturday, play Sunday. And that tournament, I did Thanksgiving. Then I went Friday, had a 6 o'clock flight, flew up to Detroit, got a car, drove to Lansing, did that game on Saturday, drove back early Sunday morning, because I had a 5:30 flight into Atlanta, then into Charleston to do the Sunday game. Well, on that Saturday, Dick Girardi and Jeff Tarman, who was working with us back then, went to Fort Sumter. I didn't make that trip. I saw it from a distance, but, you know, I did not make that trip, so... Other parts of the city, yes, but not that part. So every once in a while, something gets, you know, you have to bypass it and move on. All right. So we've got Jody McDonald coming up in the next half hour. This half hour has been brought to you by our good friends at NIL Game Changers. Okay? The ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. Great journey indeed. And thanks for listening to my ramblings in this half hour about places I've been and about the learning curve, because it's been a week where, you know, history has come up and people have talked about it, so I thought I'd add to it. But thanks for listening to the ramblings. Okay, you know, Steve, you can shut up now. Get a guest on. We'll do that next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sports Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.